Thank you, Glenn. I mentioned this morning that we were going to have an abbreviated service tonight, and we are. It's been a long time since I preached a 15-minute sermon. I don't know what you're laughing about, but anyway, it has been a while, but I'm going to try to do that tonight. And then the Bible Hour workers and young people will be making their way in here for a little short Bible drama that we're going to do, and we want to show our appreciation of them. So I hope that all of you will plan to stay. We will dismiss this service, however, for some that feel like you need to go, and we'll be sure and take your name as you walk out. But anyway, we do want to thank you for coming tonight. Duke University not long ago did a study on what results in peace of mind. And they determined that there were certain things that actually produced unhappiness and emotional instability. And they discovered that there were a number of things that made people miserable and unhappy in life. You know, most of us, and I ask you that question this morning, are you miserable? Most people would never ever admit to it that they are miserable, but there are some who lead miserable lives. And I want to share with you tonight how to experience a miserable life or an existence in this world. First of all, I would tell you that to nurse a grudge against someone will result in a miserable life. It will. You want to be miserable, then you just hold a grudge against someone that you don't like, or maybe someone that did something to you. In the Bible, in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 19, and especially in the New International Version, the Bible says that when John the Baptist had preached unto Herod and had talked to him about his life and changes that needed to be made in his life, that Herodias, who also had an envy for John, the Bible says that she nursed a grudge against John the Baptist and called for his head. And that's exactly what Herod provided. I'm convinced tonight that those who are miserable, sometimes we're miserable and we become our own worst enemy because we nurse grudges. In the book of Leviticus 19, in the Old Testament and in verse 18, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for I am the Lord." You just always try to get even with someone, and I can guarantee you that it will result in unhappiness, and you will be miserable in life. Someone wrote a little thing the other day that says, cards that Hallmark would never send. But these particular cards actually exemplify sometimes the way people feel in life. Could you imagine getting a card that read this way? "Looking back over the years that we have been together, I can't help but wonder, what was I thinking? Or I've always wanted to have someone to hold, someone to love, but after I met you, I changed my mind. Or as the days go by, I think about how lucky I am that you're not here to ruin it for me. Or as you grow older," think about this one, getting a birthday card from someone that said something like this. "As you grow older, Mom, I think of all the gifts you've given me, like the need for therapy." Or what about this one? "You look great for your age, almost lifelike. When we were together, you always said you would die for me. Now that we've broken up, I think it's about time that you keep your promise. We have been friends for a long time. What do you say we call it quits? I'm so miserable without you, it's almost like having you here." And then the last one. "You are such a good friend that if you were on a sinking ship and there was only one life jacket, I'd miss you heaps and think of you often." Sometimes we really feel that way, and there are people that harbor ill will in their heart. And if you want to really be unhappy and you really want to be miserable in life, then nurse a grudge. But there's another thing. Number two, live in the past. Have you ever noticed how often people talk about the past, and they talk about it as if they're still living there? We live that way. Have you ever heard people talk about automobiles? They're not building them the way they used to. And I am delighted that they're not, because I like air conditioning in my car. But there are a lot of people that like to live in the past. They do. They are preoccupied with their past mistakes. And I'm telling you, that will lead to depression. The Bible says that we are to forget the past, Philippians chapter 3, and that we are to press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We spend a lot of energy in life fighting conditions that we cannot change. We do. And so we have to understand that if we really want to be miserable in life, then just regress to the past. Just continue to live there, and it will happen. But number three, always be suspicious and resentful of other people. I have been around a lot of people in my life through the years, and I have found people that experienced a lot of hurt in life, but they never, ever became really resentful of other people. They could take it and go on. But sometimes we're so suspicious. If someone does something nice for us, have you ever noticed that, how suspicious you become? You wonder what they're up to. Now, you want to be miserable, be suspicious, and be resentful of other people. But the Bible says that we want to be happy and we want to be joyful. In the book of Ephesians 4:31, let all wrath and all bitterness, or one translation says resentment, let it all be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. It's not going to help you. You know, sometimes people have a lot of hatred and animosity in their heart for a lot of people in life. Something happened in the past somewhere, and I'm telling you, they're always going to be suspicious of that individual, or they will be resentful of, they will pat them on the back and they will smile in their presence, and then when they get away from them, then they allow that resentment and bitterness to emerge from their lives. Number four, you want to be miserable, indulge yourself in self-pity. When life hands you a raw deal, continue to believe that you are the only person in life who ever had to go through the trials and the fires of affliction. Get rid of self-pity. Sometimes we wallow in self-pity. One man said we find ourselves on the pity pot all the time. And we just wallow in self-pity. And we think only of ourselves and not of other people. Paul the Apostle said, and this is the reason why we need to do it as well. He said, I crucified myself when I became a Christian. Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to be unhappy in life, I can tell you the best way to be unhappy is to wallow in your self-pity. There are some things in life that are not going to bring happiness. A lot of people tend to believe that, if I had a lot of money, that I would be happy. How many of you remember a man by the name of Jay Gould, who was a railroad tycoon? Jay Gould, the American billionaire, had plenty of money. But as he lay dying on his deathbed, he made this statement. He said, I suppose that I am the most miserable man upon this earth. J. Paul Getty said, I would give millions for a happy marriage. Maybe you would too. I don't know. It certainly is not an unbelief. I've had people tell me, well, I could be happy if I could just eradicate God from my mind, because when I think of God, then I start feeling guilty. Voltaire said, who was the infidel, he supposed as he lay dying, he said, I wish that I had never, ever been born. You want to be unhappy and you want to be miserable, number five, remove the virtues of love and kindness and compassion and humor. Yes, humor. You know, there are some people in this life, honestly, if they were to crack a smile, their face would just fall to pieces. You know the kind I'm talking about? Sometimes you can tell a funny story and people sit. Now, Jesus used humor. He did. I was down in Corpus Christi, Texas, a number of years ago. I was down there conducting a revival. And an older gentleman walked up to me after the service was over. And he said, I'm displeased with you. I said, don't feel bad. My wife is too. But I said, well, why do I displease you? And he says, well, that funny story you told in church. He said, I don't think Jesus would use humor. Y'all ever looked in the mirror lately? How many of you know that when Jesus said there were those who would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? That's pretty funny to me. I don't believe Jesus went around with a long face. I don't believe that. I believe that our Lord was one who exemplified the spirit of joy and happiness, and I believe that Jesus employed the use of humor on various occasions. But there are some people who want to remove those virtues, not only of humor, but of love, of loyalty from your life. And in John, the 13th chapter and verse 35, Jesus said, I give a new commandment unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And hereby shall the world know that you're my disciples. It would be hard for us, or we would be hard-pressed, to convince someone in the world that we were children of God if we didn't have these qualities. But if you want to be miserable and you want to go around with a long face, then I can tell you, you will be miserable in life. You will. But number six, let egotism be the driving force in your life. Have you ever noticed how egotistical people are? They're the ones that get up in the morning and go to the mirror and sing how great I am. But there are some people who are so egotistical in life, and it doesn't take you long to be around them. They're always talking about self. They're not talking about anyone else. They're talking about their own virtues and how wonderful they are. And they're so filled with pride. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me remind you of a couple of other passages in the scripture that says in the book of James 4:6, and it's reiterated again over in the book of 1 Peter, that epistle, chapter 5 and verse 5, where he says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. You ever been around proud people who think they're better than everybody else? I have. You want to be unhappy? And I can tell you, down deep inside, those kind of folks are unhappy. They're miserable. Because no one else is extolling their virtues, and they feel they have to tell you about them. As Christians, and there are some people who think if they don't toot their own horn, it ain't going to get tooted. God says to get rid of your pride. Jesus said that we must humble ourselves and become as little children if we're to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's true. But then number seven, and last of all, and I am going to wrap this up in 15 minutes. I didn't think I could do it. I was going to tell you one other thing that will make you miserable is to wear a coat on Sunday night on a hot day. Now, I didn't wear mine tonight. But number seven, live with a guilty conscience. You want to be miserable? Live with a guilty conscience. It will make you miserable. There are some people who do. They use escape mechanisms like denying their sin or justifying their wrong, or by blaming it on someone else. If the Bible teaches us anything, it teaches us that we are to live with a conscience that is free from sin and a conscience that is free from reproach. The Apostle Paul mentioned that in Luke's recording of it in the book of Acts 23 and verse 1. Paul says, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. But when Paul writes to Timothy, he says of some that they take their conscience and they allow it to become seared over like you would take an iron and sear a garment. He said their conscience has become so seared and so hardened that the word of God never ever reaches them or pierces their heart anymore. So if you want to be miserable, live with a guilty conscience. Now God asks us to get rid of the guilty conscience. God doesn't want us to be miserable. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you." And the same thing was true of his peace in John 14 and verse 27. And the Apostle Paul, who could have lived a miserable life, having been imprisoned and chained to that Praetorian guard under the Roman Empire, but yet the Bible says of him in Philippians 4 and verse 4, Paul's saying this to the church. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, and let your moderation or your way of life be known to all men." And that's the way that we ought to live. And I hope tonight, let me challenge you this week. When you go out into the world this week, and you're going to be around a lot of folks, get rid of your long face and put a smile on. You know, several years ago, I used to listen to a radio station out of Shreveport, Louisiana called KWKH. Anybody ever happen to listen to that radio station? Yeah, the announcer would come on every morning and he would say, "Smile and make the world wonder what you've been up to." Now, you know what? We ought to do that this week. And when they ask us what we've been up to, we say, "Hey, I've been to worship. I've been to with God." Do you know the Bible says that there were some, when they were noted that they were Christians or followers of Jesus Christ, they said that they took note that they had been with Jesus. I hope the world this week takes note that you have been with Jesus. I hope tonight, if you're not with him, that you'll give your life to him. And that of a penitent heart, you'll surrender your life to Jesus to become a child of God in baptism, or perhaps maybe as one that came this morning with a desire to ask for the prayers of the body of Christ. Maybe tonight there are others who need to do that same thing. Get rid of all that miserable attitude and start living the joyful Christian life. You'll feel better, those around you will feel better, and God will be glorified. Let us stand and let us sing.